Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. Senator Rick Metzger will lead us in the pledge. Our invocation today is by Senator Bruce Starr.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here this morning embarking on a new week, a week that will be likely filled with challenges that we haven't seen in quite some time. We ask, Lord, that you would provide an extraordinary amount of wisdom to our leaders, our Senate President, to our Majority Leader, to our Republican Leader, to each of us. As we come to the point in the session where sometimes it's difficult to move ahead, it's difficult to find the consensus necessary, we ask for extraordinary wisdom. We ask for your assistance, O God. In times when tempers might flare, we ask for a calm, that we would remember your word that says that a gentle answer will turn away wrath. Help us, God, to do our duty in a manner that's pleasing to you. And as I close, I'm going to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Thank you, Senator Starr, for your invocation. Thank you, Senator Schroeder, for leading us in the pledge. Now to in the North Gallery, the marimba band from the Village Charter School in Eugene to play a traditional Zimbabwean song.
Thank you.
marimba band from the Village Charter School in Eugene. Thank you very much. Great job. I'd like to extend the courtesy to send it to you. Wonderful music. Way to get our day started with just a fine sound. Thank you very much. This year marks the 10th anniversary of the Oregon Public Charter School legislation. Today is also the beginning of the National Charter School Week. There are currently 88 charter schools educating over 14,000 students in 56 districts across the state of Oregon. Many of these schools are visiting the Capitol today and will be participating in a celebration rally at noon on the Capitol steps. I'd like to welcome the charter school students who are here today, and both in the chamber and those that are throughout the Capitol. I'd like to extend an official courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to each and every one of you. Further courtesies, recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like you to extend courtesies of the Senate to the Douglas County Rays Youth Court, who are currently in the back gallery here observing their state government for the day.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to your state capitol and youth corps. I hope you're having a good time. This is your capitol. Stay with us throughout the day. Hope you come back again and see us sometime. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to each and every one of you. Further courtesies, remonstrances. Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I stand up this morning under remonstrances because over the weekend we lost a champion. We lost a champion for freedom, for free enterprise, for entrepreneurship, competition, the things that makes America great. Jack Kemp passed away this weekend. I came to age in a time when Jack Kemp was running for president, my first presidential election in 1988. It was early and eager young advocate for Congressman Kemp at the time running for president. He was a cheerleader for America, ever optimistic, ever energetic. He believed in this great land of ours, America, and what it has to offer for all of us. He stood up for racial equality before it was cool, because he'd seen it as his time as a professional football player, how unfair and cruel that racism practiced really was. Mr. President, I think it's appropriate for us to honor Jack Kemp, the original compassionate conservative.
Recognize Senator Schrader, please.
Colleagues, good morning. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I wanted to share something with you I did last week. I had the opportunity to tour Clackamas Community College to review the Go Oregon Recovery Package projects that were undertaken there. I spoke with administrators, workers, and am pleased to report that as a result of the passage of our own Oregon stimulus package, Clackamas Community College was able to sustain 125 jobs that otherwise would have been eliminated and actually created 15 new full-time positions. It was gratifying to tour that facility and particularly gratifying to have individuals thank the legislators who attended, thank them for actually providing them and helping them keep jobs. I'd like to report that 7 projects are now completed, and there are 23 more to go.
Can I, Senator Carter, please?
Mr. President, thank you. Without failure on my part, I want to make sure that on this long road trip that the staff who worked so valiantly and who kept us on track receive kudos for their great work, and a big thank you from this body. My thank you to Ken Rocco for all that he does, Gina Rumbaugh for coordinating with the committee members, the whole committee services area, Rick Borkobian for loaning out Patsy, who kept people on time, Patsy Wood for coordinating lodging, transportation, and setup at the venues, Mike Riley for running all the outside the building meetings, and to Joshua Hoyt for running all the outside building meetings as well. They were there receiving all kind of information from the public. To my 2 staff, Kayla Hutt for coordinating Co-Chair Carter's schedule, and John Christensen for being there when Kayla wasn't. to Andrew Ainsworth for coordinating co-chair Buckley's schedule and helping with Ashland arrangements. To Jeff Sugarman for putting together the lunch meetings in Klamath Falls, editorial board meetings in Bend, and to our very own Robin Maxey for all the work that he did, Mr. President, which was wonderful. To Senator Betsy Johnson for the utilization of her airplane, plus Buckley and Bates paid for dinner in Ashland. Margaret had box lunches in Portland. Walker and Nathanson had box lunches in Eugene. There were two different CS folks who helped out with the meeting in Salem, and I'm tracking down the names now. Patsy was on the phone. Hopefully she will call soon. All of these people were invaluable in their assistance. They made it possible for me just to have be the person who knew which other staff members knew what was going on in any particular topic. Thank you to all of our staff and the people aforementioned.
Further remonstrances? Message from the House.
Mr. President, I just passed House Bill 2014, 2136, 2308, 2502, 2700, 2738, 2795, 2809, 3051, 3118, 3123, 3151, 3367, 3451, 3471, House Bills 2313, House Bill 2589, 2569, 2673, House Bill 2740, 2956, 3076, 3085, 3157, 2137, 2262, 2718, 2868, 3097, 3103, and adopted H.J.R. 3045.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SRA 0.551, committee report summary number 80 was distributed to members May 1st, and number 81 was distributed today. This information will record the Journal of State's report is so ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Actions on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmations. Introduction of first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 8, Relating Emergency Services. Senate Bill 10, Relating Intercounty Adoption of Children in the Custody of DHS. Senate Bill 38, Relating Climate Change. Senate Bill 227, Emergency Alcoholic Beverages to a Minor. Senate Bill 287, Licensing of Residential Facility. Senate Bill 303, Relating Humane and Social Agents. Senate Bill 344, Relating County Officers. Senate Bill 498, Retroactivity of Laws Applied to Department of Revenue. Senate Bill 607, Relating Outdoor Advertising Signs. Senate Bill 618, Relating Military Discharge Records in Court Emergency. Senate Bill 633, Investments in Public Funds and Court Emergencies. Senate Bill 646, Relating Budget Levels for Type B Area Agencies. Senate Bill 679, Relating Health Benefit Plan Dividends for Paid for Healthy Lifestyles. Senate Bill 687, Relating All Your Trust Accounts. Senate Bill 691, Relating Compensation for the Loss of Value of Private Forest Land. Senate Bill 763, Relating Transferable Development Credits. Senate Bill 786, Relating Unlawful Religious Discrimination and Employment Practices. Senate Bill 794, Relating Condemnation. Senate Bill 863, Relating Reimbursement of Local Filmmaker Productions. Senate Bill 877, Relating to Removal Fill Burying Programs. Senate Bill 911, Relating Persons Found Guilty Except for Insanity. Senate Bill 928, Relating Unlawful Employment Practices Involving Victims of Certain Crimes. Senate Bill 952, Relating Rights of Tenants and Foreclosed Properties. Senate Bill 973, Relating Life Insurance.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Recognize Senator Farioli, please.
Likewise, Mr. President, the Republicans would enjoy a 15-minute caucus in our caucus room.
Senate will stand at recess until 10:50, which is the clock on the side wall. You know, make it 10:55. Senate's going to be recessed until 10:55. We're now in recess. The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
The quorum is present. Senate recess following the order of second reading of Senate Measures and will resume under a third reading of the Senate Measures. It is so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 577, related certification appeals to the Supreme Court in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, in 2007, the legislature passed two major ethics reforms bills, Senate Bill 10 and HB 2595. One of the major provisions of the reform established monetary limits on gifts, entertainment, an honorarium that a public official can receive from an individual with a legislative or administrative interest. Now, a lawsuit was filed shortly after passage challenging the constitutionality of the gift and entertainment restrictions on grounds that they impermissibly discriminate between different types of speakers and thus violate free speech protections of Article 1, Section 8 of the Oregon Constitution and the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. A lower court affirmed the law, but the case is being appealed to the Oregon Court of Appeals. Senate Bill 577 would certify the aforementioned case and any subsequent case challenging the constitutionality of the government ethics provisions in Chapter 8, Oregon Laws 2007, directly to the Supreme Court for expedited review. When the constitutionality of legislative action is challenged in court, it is the responsibility of this body to act in the public's best interest and expedite judicial review so the appropriate legislative action can be taken to remedy any infringement on the free speech rights of all of our constituencies. Now, there is a precedence for this type of legislative intervention. PERS reform in 2003 resulted in multiple lawsuits challenging the constitutionality of the provisions. Given the fiscal troubles of the PERS system, it was in the public's best interest to confer cases directly to the Supreme Court. This will help expedite the constitutional question and provide clarity to the legislature on any additional steps that need to be taken to meet the policy goals embedded in Senate Bill 10, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question? I recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Conflict of interest, Mr. President.
Please note your possible conflict of interest.
I'm party to that lawsuit, Mr. President.
Your potential conflict of interest has been noted. Further discussion? Question now rises on third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 577. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe, Morissette, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Carter.
Go on. Here she is. Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 577, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 591, State Interoperability Executive Council.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer. I'm sorry, Senator. My fault. Wait a minute. Is it 577?
We'll be
right.
Brief.
Thank you.
So I can wander up there and hear what it is you have to tell me. And we have a lot of bills today. So Senate Bill 590 simply allows the governor to appoint a designee of one of the nine tribes of Oregon to the Interoperability Executive Council. This bill is a worthy adjustment to the Interoperability Executive Council tribal position provisions of ORS 401.871, and I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Question on item 30 and the final passage of Senate Bill 590. This opinion bill is passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney,
yes.
Atkinson,
yes.
Voting no, Carter, 29 ayes.
Senator Johnson, what purpose your ayes?
President, prior to the vote, I should have declared a potential conflict. I serve on that commission.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Senate Bill 590, having received the constitutional majority, declared it passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 839, related to address confidentiality.
Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise and ask for support on Senate Bill 839. This is a simple bill to deal with a very important problem of human trafficking. What this bill would do would allow for victims of human trafficking to access to an already established address confidentiality program here we have in Oregon. Human trafficking is an issue that's important for us to get a handle on. We don't think of it as an Oregon problem or a problem in the United States, but it is. We're talking primarily about human trafficked individuals that are brought into our country illegally or runaways that fall into this situation of being trafficked. This is a small way that we can assist and handle this issue. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question on revised bond 30 and final pass, Senate Bill 839. Those opinion bills passed, those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montezenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett.
Yes, Whitsett. Senator Whitsett.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Bates. Senator Bates.
President Courtney. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 839, received the Council of Judges, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 944, related to Linn County Area Commission on Transportation.
Recognize Senator Floyd Byzanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 944 came out of your Business and Transportation Committee on a 3-0 vote. Basically, what 944 is going to do is going to assist and direct Lane County to come up and develop a charter to be proposed for a formation of an Area Commission on Transportation. As you, Mr. President, and most people in this body understands, there are numerous acts, as they're referred to, throughout the state. Lane County is one of two that does not. It's time to allow for a little more broader discussion and participation, and so this will assist them in doing so. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now rise by 30 to final passage. Senate Bill 944. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montezenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Berger. Walker. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Gerard, Cruz, 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 944, I received the constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 70, relating to amounts received in State School Fund of Department of Education, declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 70A came to us from the Education Committee unanimously. The Department of Education is charged with overseeing the education of children who are hospitalized or placed into long-term care and treatment. For at least the last 15 years, the department has calculated state school funds for these programs based on the number of beds or slots needed to be available at any time to serve those students. Recently, departmental staff found that the state school funds can't be drawn down in this particular way. Instead, they should be drawn down based on the average daily membership. It is difficult in this situation, however, to project an average daily membership for the student population. They are highly transient and often placed at the last minute. If the calculation switched over to use the average daily membership, the funding for these programs would fall off drastically, as much as $8.5 million for the last biennium. Because these are vulnerable students that the state has a responsibility to serve, Senate Bill 70A allows the Department of Education to continue to provide appropriate funding through a revised calculation. The revenue statement issued for the bill states that passage of the bill will not change current practice and is revenue neutral. This bill was supported by all the educational groups from COSA, OEA, OSBA, and OSEA. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 70A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Question on rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 7. All those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 70, I have received constant majority for it passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 72, in special education, court emergency.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, unanimous committee vote, technical change, good bill should pass.
Discussion. Question now, third reading, final passage. Senate Bill 72, those opinion bills pass. Aye, those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Carter. Carter.
Carter.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 72, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 269, relocation of utility facilities.
Recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Colleagues, road improvement projects often require the identification and relocation of utility cables, poles, vaults, and pipelines. Utility relocations can be expensive. Lack of effective coordination among public agencies, utility owners, and construction contractors can result in incomplete construction plans, construction delays, and additional costs. Senate Bill 269-A requires public bodies and utilities to coordinate in the planning of highway projects to minimize costs. Senate Bill 269-A also allows utilities to seek and receive reimbursement from private parties or customers and sets procedures for the Public Utility Commission to determine the level of cost recovery.
Thank you. Discussion. Question on item 30 to final passage. Senate Bill 269. Those opinion bills passed. Aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader.
Schrader.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Gerard Cruz, 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 269, Chief of Council Majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 309, bring the evidence.
Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski. Recognize Senator Floyd Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 309 comes out of your Judiciary Committee. It came out on a 4-1 vote. The purpose of 309 is basically to set two new standards that we'll have in our criminal justice system. The first is basically requiring electronic recordation of custodial interviews that are placed in a law enforcement agency, which is or by agencies within their facilities. These interviews will be starting and required to be done in two different perspectives. The first is in the area of a murder, or if you have minors, in the sense of juveniles or people of minority that do not speak English as their primary language. Those would start on January 1, 2010. The others would be for all other person felonies. They would be phased in on July 1, 2011. What this will actually require is that the officers that are making these type of investigations and doing the recordation make an electronic record. That record will need to be available to the individuals upon request through the discovery process that's currently required under law now. What will also be as part of this bill, which requires that if a judge is for a judge to give a jury instruction concerning the facts that the matter that needed to be recorded wasn't. I'm telling the body today that that was a mistake, it was an oversight, and I will be moving to have that removed from the bill when it goes to the House. The other portion that we had some issues with was regarding which agencies would in fact be involved in the requirement for recordation. And currently it says five sworn police officers or more that those agencies would be required. It came to our attention that reserve officers are used in many of the smaller communities and agencies. They are, in fact, sworn officers, but they are not, in fact, employed as full-time employees. I've told both of the proponents and opponents that that would be something we would look at on the House side as well. The second part of the bill deals with a situation correcting a decision that was made out of the Court of Appeals, where we had an individual that was an interpreter for a declarant. The declarant said to the interpreter what happened, and then what happened next was the interpreter told the officer. That statement was, in fact, taken down, and the court ruled that that was a sense, what I would call a double hearsay, in the sense that it was not going to be admissible because there was no way of showing the validation of the statement that was made by the declarant to the interpreter. What we are done in this bill is we have allowed for that to occur if and upon the showing that the translator, the person that is translating for the original declarant, is shown not to be available for trial, and then that would come in as a hearsay exception, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you.
For discussion, recognize Senator Doug Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted no in committee on this double stuff for one reason. It provides for recording a conversation without the permission of one of the parties. This provision sets new precedent in Oregon. On page 5, section 3 of this bill, it states the provision in section 1C of this section do not apply to a person who, pursuant to section 1 or section 2 of this 2009 Act, records an interview conducted by a law enforcement agency in a law enforcement facility. What it does not apply to in section 3, a person may not obtain or attempt to obtain the whole or any part of a conversation by means of any device, contrivance, machine, or apparatus, whether electrical, mechanical, manual, or otherwise, if not all participants in the conversation are specifically informed that their conversation is being obtained. Mr. President, I believe that this provision is wrong. It sets a wrong precedent. That's why I voted no and why I urge a no vote. Thank you.
For the discussion. Senator Zanski, you wish to close?
Yes, I do. Mr. President, I just want to follow up on what a good senator from Kay Falls was bringing up, I believe, District 28, regarding the type of consent that's required. In the state of Oregon, you do not have to have consent from both parties in telephone conversations. Those, in fact, can, in fact, be recorded without two-party consent. The two-party consent rule is, in fact, required for a face-to-face interview or face-to-face discussion that both parties need to be informed. That doesn't mean that they have to agree, but they need to be informed. This exception that will come through under Senate Bill 309 would, in fact, allow law enforcement to have one-party consent. That means that the officer knows, but they would not need to inform the individual in the facility that the testimony or statements that they're giving are recorded. This is somewhat a break from Oregon law as to how we have it set for requirement for two-party consent, but the testimony that came in made it very clear that it could have a chilling effect on an individual giving statements to the officers regarding crime if they knew they were being recorded. But again, it's not unprecedented. It just is different in the sense of having this required for face-to-face recordings as compared to by telephone. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question number on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 309. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz, Berger, Whitsett, Winters. 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 309, having received custom majority, declared passed. Senator Lori Montesanz, what purpose do you rise?
I would request that we return to courtesies, Mr. President.
Objection. Excuse me for you to do so.
Mr. President, up in the back gallery, we have some wonderful fourth graders from my area in Gresham and from Hall Elementary School. They're teacher or leader of the group is Jennifer Radnicki, and there's 40 of them, and I'd wish the Senate to extend courtesies. Thank you.
Thank you. The Hall Elementary School fourth graders and Jennifer, the teacher, we're real pleased you would come into the chambers and visit with us during this session day. This is your state capitol. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you can stay all day long, and hope you'll come back and see us again. Thank you very much for coming here. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you. We'll now turn to the regular order of business, which is the third reading of Senate measure. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 310, million DNA and court emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 310 will create a two-year moratorium on destroying some DNA evidence. This moratorium builds upon Oregon's innocence law, which allows a person who has been convicted of a murder or a sex crime to request a test of DNA evidence collected in the case. Oregon's innocence law was an important step in ensuring that innocent people who were wrongly convicted and that the guilty parties were brought to justice. However, the innocence law did not address the issue of retaining this critical DNA evidence. Currently, DNA evidence is retained during trials and appeals, but there are no statewide policies or practices for retaining or appropriately destroying DNA evidence after a conviction. This lack of evidence retention makes it difficult for innocent prisoners to take advantage of new DNA testing. With testing technology advancing rapidly, the failure to retain evidence presents a potentially enormous hurdle in seeing justice served. This bill addresses the potential problem by requiring the retention of biological evidence in murders and sex crimes until January of 2012. By this time, a work group will be formed to prepare legislation that establishes uniform practices and policies for the state. This bill has an exception for evidence retention due to size, bulk, or other physical characteristics that make it impractical to retain. In these situations, only the portion of the evidence that is likely to contain DNA needs to be preserved. This bill has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal, passed the Judiciary Committee unanimously. For all of these reasons, I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now rises by third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 310. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Please call the roll.
Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 310, having received constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 566 from the Urbanville Boundary Management Metropolitan
Organized
System.
Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I stand and ask your vote on Senate Bill 566. The bill is here today that fixes a glitch in the, that we created actually when we passed Senate Bill 1011 last session. As you will remember, Senate Bill 1011 talks about creating urban reserves, and you have a broad cross-section of local governments and interest groups that right now are working to implement Senate Bill 1011 from last session. However, we missed one thing when we passed Senate Bill 1011. It is possible to interpret the so-called hierarchy of lands in such a way as it would force the region right back to the debate over soil quality that produced 1011 in the first place. Hence, the bill you have before us today clarifies that after urban reserves have been designated under the new process established in Senate Bill 1011, when the region moves to bring these reserves into the urban growth boundary, we won't be required to argue about which urban reserves to bring into the boundary based on soil type. From the perspective of land use laws, the bill says that urban reserves are created equal, and the region can consider what areas to urbanize based on the suitability of land for urban development. That's what we thought we were doing under Senate Bill 1011, and that's what this bill does. One final point. When this bill was heard in committee, I'd also hope it would address another important issue, whether the region should determine its needs for growth on a sub-regional level as well as a regional basis. After significant discussion within the region, it was decided that the reserves process and metro analysis of growth and the urban growth boundary are far too long on this issue to get it complicated by the other issue as it relates to sub-regional analysis. I have a commitment that we will continue to work on that sub-regional analysis process outside of this legislative session during the interim. Senate Bill 566 has the support of Metro, the counties in the region, and my own city of Hillsborough, and an urgent aye vote. Thank you.
Discussion. Question now rise upon the reading final pass. Senate Bill 566. Those opinion bills pass. The others opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass, Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett, Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
yes.
Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, George, Cruz, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 566, having received the constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 580, the Cumberland River Crossing Project.
Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand here asking for your support on Senate Bill 580. This is a very simple bill. It has to do with the Columbia River crossing and bridges over the Columbia River. All that this bill requires is that the Department of Transportation work with other governments before we implement a tolling program process for that new Columbia River crossing. It's permissive. It does have a deadline in the bill that asks for the department to get back to us with a plan no later than January 1 of 2011. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you. For discussion. Question rise upon third reading final pass to Senate Bill 580. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Ferrioli, Cruz, Walker, 27 ayes.
The Senate Bill 580, having received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 664, Wind Power Project for Temporary Transfer of Water Rights.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. SB 664A comes from your Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. No revenue impact, minimal fiscal, 5-0. Authorize the expansion of pilot projects in 12 irrigation districts. Good bill, should pass.
Discussion. Question on item 30 and final passage, Senate Bill 664. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
General Winters. Go on.
Atkinson.
No, she's up.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 664. I received costume of Judge Fred Pat. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 731, Wind Garnishment.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 731 comes to you unanimously from the Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. The bill addresses a predicament that exists in current law regarding exempt funds. Here's the problem. The purpose of some public benefits is to create a safety net for people like veterans, seniors, people with disabilities, and other vulnerable citizens to meet their most basic needs. These benefits are exempt from collection, protected as a matter of state and federal law. But what happens under the current statutory structure is this. Exempt funds are deposited into the recipient's account via electronic transfer. If a bank or credit union receives a garnishment order from a creditor, the financial institution must turn over the funds, even if the bank or credit union knows that the funds are exempt. Then, under current law, the recipient, remember that this is typically a veteran, a senior citizen, maybe a person with a disability, they must file a claim of exemption and go to court to have the transfer reversed. This court process can take weeks or months. During one of the hearings, we heard about an Oregon veteran who had his exempt veteran's benefit garnished and several weeks later still did not have them returned, even with the assistance of an attorney. Meanwhile, the vulnerable person is left without money to pay rent, utilities, or other bills. He or she is unable to buy food or necessary prescriptions and may incur bounced check fees and other fees. Senate Bill 731A provides a practical solution, and I want to thank the Senator from Lyons for helping create this solution that's in the bill. Here's how it works. When a person receives a direct deposit of exempt funds each month, an amount equal to the amount of the deposit will be protected from garnishment if the funds are readily identifiable as exempt or if the customer has filled out an affidavit identifying the funds as exempt. The form can be completed at the time the account is opened or at a later date. The protection applies to direct deposits of exempt retirement plan payments, Social Security, veterans benefits, public assistance, unemployment compensation, black lung benefits, and workers' compensation. Senate Bill 731A is fair to financial institutions and creditors. It is straightforward to administer. The financial institution must simply look to see if there are readily identifiable exempt direct deposit funds in the account or if there is an affidavit on file, and if so, they need not turn over the funds. Importantly, the financial institutions have a complete release of liability for good faith application of the law. I want to repeat that they have a complete release of liability, so if they're unable to determine whether the funds are exempt, they're not liable if they turn them over. Or if they are exempt, and they fail to turn them over, if they aren't exempt, they still have a release of liability. Amounts over the amount of the exempt deposit may still be garnished. As part of the compromise in negotiating this bill, the financial institutions will receive a $15 garnishment fee instead of the current $10 fee unless the creditor is a State Department of Revenue, which will continue to pay $10. Colleagues, Senate Bill 731A is based on models that are working well in other states. It is reasonable, fair, and important protection for vulnerable people who rely on funds that are for public policy reasons protected from garnishment. Please look at the letters of support from the AARP, Disability Rights Oregon, the Oregon War Veterans Association, Oregon Law Center, and Lane County Legal Aid and Advocacy Center. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 731A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Question now arrives upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 731. Those opinion bills passed. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Moss Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 731, I received the Constable George declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 735, related to Oregon Prescription Drug Program.
Recognized Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 735 is part of the OPDP, Oregon Prescription Drug Program. On your desk, there is a description of the program, including the history of the start of the program in the year 2003. Also, it includes an initiative that we gathered 129,000 signatures to expand the program to the uninsured. It did pass by 80%. There was no opposition to it, basically. What the program does is provides low-cost prescription drugs anywhere from 30% to 60%, depending upon the drug, to individuals who have a card, which is free, from OPDP, Oregon Prescription Drug Program. And the program does service the Medicare individuals who are in the donut hole. We have permission from CMS to allow them to keep their receipts and get out-of-pocket credit for that. We're expanding the program partly because we've had a problem with some of the rural pharmacies who complained about the discount program that that's in place, and it put them at a disadvantage, particularly servicing teachers who are now involved in the new healthcare program that we passed last session. So we fixed that. We've established a PBM. We hope to establish a PBM. We will negotiate with the rural pharmacies, and I think it is a more equitable bill. We have other areas that we are going to examine to make the program more cost-effective. We've removed barriers that some of which we've had to put back in the bill because there was some opposition, and I think that we're probably ill-advised to start with. And my good friend from Roseburg will discuss the reason that he is a co-carrier to this bill, because we have worked together on this. I invited him on the agenda this morning because he, the last time I carried this bill, he did a minority report, and rather than do a minority report, I changed the bill and asked him to speak to it. So this indeed is a bipartisan effort. There is one mistake. In the summary of the bill, it says that the Department of Human Services may not participate. That's not true. That only in the summary, not in the bill itself. The Department of Human Services cannot include the Medicaid, and that I think is what my colleague will speak to. So I think it's a wonderful bill, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Jeff Cruz.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I'll be brief because I wasn't supposed to be a co-carrier, but here I am. The good senator is full of surprises, as always. I do want to thank him for taking the bill back to committee and embedding my minority report in the bill, and because I do think it makes a better bill. The original purpose of this bill was to ensure that that small rural pharmacies were included. Personally, I think that the department had the ability to do that already, but this makes it very clear that they can do it. I could talk about the program, but I won't.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Alan Bates, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just real quick, colleague, this is not a good bill. This is a great bill. We printed 1,000 brochures in my office last year for the Oregon Prescription Drug Program, and they were gone in 2 weeks. People no longer go to Canada. They no longer go to Mexico to get their medications. They're getting them here in our local pharmacies, both rural and urban. I can't tell you what a great program this is and what a huge change it's made in the practice of medicine in the state, and we all kind of take it for granted. This is a great bill. It's something to take home and talk to your constituents about. Please vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Morissette, do you wish to close? Question on the final third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 735. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Opposed? No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 735, Amish Chief Council Majority is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 825, Land Transportation.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 825 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be re-referred to the Committee on Business and Transportation.
Senator Rick Metzger has moved that Senate Bill 825 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be re-referred to the Business and Transportation Committee. Your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. This deals with work zones, and you should always be cautious and go slowly in work zones. So we'll take it back to committee.
Discussion? The question is on taking Senate Bill 825 from its place on today's third reading calendar and me referring it to the Business and Transportation Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 850, relating to Health Service Commission.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissette, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 850 is a very important bill. It adds a dentist to the board of practitioners. And the reason the dentists are so important is because of the oral health issue. Oral health is directly connected to overall health. A number of epidemiological studies show that an association between oral health and chronic conditions such as and the systemic diseases, including heart disease, stroke, diabetes, pregnancy, pulmonary infections. Also, the number of school children who are untreated for decay is very large, 47%, and this is an area that is overlooked in dealing with health problems. So I think this is a great bill, and I urge an aye vote.
Recognize Senator Fred Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please note your potential conflict of interest.
I'm a licensed dentist in the state of Oregon.
Your potential conflict of interest has been noted. Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Colleagues, there was an amendment that was proposed that we are going to encourage the House to implement. It came too late to really get it into the bill, and that would be to have a member of an acupuncturist, naturopathic, or a chiropractic physician to also be on this committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please note your potential conflict of interest.
My wife picks tartar for a living, and therefore she's a dental hygienist.
Potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Senator Bill Morissette, do you wish to close?
Tarter.
Question on rise upon the third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 850. Those opinion bills passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli,
aye.
George, Gerard,
Ted.
Hass,
Ted.
Hass, Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, President Courtney,
yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 8, 5-0, I receive constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 874, related individuals with disabilities.
Recognize Senator Floyd Prezansky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 874 came out of Judiciary Committee on a 4-1 vote. What this bill will do is update Oregon's version of the American Disability Act to conform with what was passed by the in the federal system and went into effect in January of this year.
Thank you. Question, is there further discussion? Recognize Senator Doug Whitson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I voted against this bill in committee because, in my opinion, it simply goes too far. The Federal American Disabilities Act applies to employers with 15 or more employees, while the mini Oregon ADA applies to employers with 6 or more employees. Extending this discrepancy continues the competitive disadvantage for Oregon small businesses. This bill defines disability to include anyone who currently has a record of ever having, or is perceived to have a physical or mental impairment. The real or perceived disabilities included caring for oneself, performing manual tasks, seeing, hearing, eating, sleeping, walking, standing, lifting, bending, speaking, breathing, learning, reading, concentrating, thinking, communicating, working, operations of major bodily functions, and the ability to acquire, rent, or maintain property. Who among us in this chamber today could not be perceived to fit into one or more of those categories, Mr. President? Senate Bill 874 is too restrictive in a time when unemployment is near an all-time high and when businesses are shedding jobs and small businesses are closing at unprecedented rates. This bill will place small businesses at an even more competitive disadvantage. The need for protection of our disabled in the workplace is necessary and proper. In my opinion, Senate Bill 874 simply is too restrictive and extends protections beyond what is proper and necessary. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? The Senator Prezansky, do you wish to close?
Mr. President, yes, I just want to clarify a couple of things. Regarding the Oregon equivalent of the ADA, 6 or more employees, that is correct, but that's what it's been for many, many years. I believe since the creation of the Oregon equivalent of the ADA has been 6 or more. The good senator from District 28 also points out that under the federal system it's 15 or more. So the bottom line at this point, what we're attempting to do is update and take in what the so we'll be on a dual track and be in compliance with what the federal ADA requires. If we don't do that, then we're actually going to set up a situation that employers in the state will be under two systems, which they are now, but you'll have a break. For those that have employees of 15 or more, will have one set of rules that would apply to them, where those that are 6 or more will have another set that will apply to them. That's why we're wanting to move forward to conform it to best we can as to what the federal system now provides under their update that occurred January of this year.
Question number 30 to file passage. Senate Bill 874. Those opinion bills pass. The House opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezansky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
The Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz.
Anybody else want to change the vote or vote no? Go ahead. Do what you need to do to read for the record.
Voting no, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Whitsett. 17 ayes.
The Senate Bill 874, having received a country majority, is declared passed. Senator Morris, are you up? Your light's not on. All right. Thank you. I just want, maybe if you want to do some more talking. I was anticipating your need to say something for the record, but you have no need. Recognize Senator Frank. Did you read the bill?
Did I read it?
Yes, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 915 with regulation structures.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, colleagues, Senate Bill 915 comes from the Committee on Business and Transportation with no dissenting votes. The measure declares the intent of the Legislative Assembly that enforcement of the state building code must be done in a fair, equitable, and uniform manner throughout this state, and that it is a matter of state concern. Senate Bill 915 states that a monetary penalty assessed under the building codes for a violation must be assessed as a civil penalty. Further, a civil penalty for a violation under a building inspection program must do four things, according to the bill. One is provide notice that describes the alleged violation, including relevant code provision numbers, ordinance numbers, or other identifying references. Two, provide a statement that the municipality intends to assess a civil penalty for the violation and the amount of violation. And three, provide that an appeal process is available. And four, provide the means and the time frame for informing the municipality that the party is challenging the assessment of the civil penalty. Further, the bill requires a municipal administrative process other than a judicial proceeding, and that there is an opportunity to challenge the civil penalty assessment before an individual department or body that is other than the municipality's building inspector or building official. Also, the bill states that the amount of the civil penalty may not exceed the maximum civil penalty amount declared in ORS 455.895. Now, colleagues, with respect to why this bill is necessary, I would refer to an opinion that I asked for from Legislative Council, and I quote the opinion letter in part. Legislative Council says, "This opinion addresses the single question of whether a municipality, city, or county authorized to administer the state building code as a municipal ordinance may assess a criminal penalty for a violation of that municipal ordinance. We conclude that a municipality may not do so in those instances where the state building code provides that violation of the code is subject to a civil penalty." The opinion letter further states, in the State versus Tyler, a 2000 case, the court held that where the Legislative Assembly has made a policy decision that a particular group of violations is to be treated as non-criminal, a municipal ordinance that criminalizes violations of the same nature and character is invalid. Additionally, the opinion states, although the statutes lack an express statement directly on point, in view of the overall statutory scheme, we believe the Legislative Assembly has clearly indicated an intent that, with specific exceptions such as ORS 480.525, which deals with life safety issues around boilers, penalty, the state building code violations and building requirement violations are to be subject to sanction by civil penalties. We also conclude that the policy is intended to operate uniformly throughout the state. Colleagues, this bill is the work product of cities, counties, building officials, and the Building Code Division of DCBS and Legislative Council. It clarifies ambiguity in how municipal governments enforce building codes. It assures builders throughout the state that violations of the building code will not be adjudicated through the criminal procedures code, but rather through a civil proceedings with appeal rights. I urge an aye vote, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, to the bill.
To the bill.
Mr. President, I do rise in support of Senate Bill 915A, but what I want to say about this bill very quickly is that there's a principle at work here. And the principle that is at work is when a city overreaches its bounds, the Oregon legislature has the ability to set the record straight, not just for that city, but to create a state policy that is good for all of Oregon. That is our job, Mr. President. But Mr. President, in the last the session that we had in February and in this session, I have been trying to fix a statewide policy on boarding houses
And if and whether or not it is legal to rent a room, an option that is actually becoming quite an issue in Oregon, as people seem to try to find ways to either find a place to live that's affordable or trying to make their mortgage payment. Mr. President, there's an issue in Southern Oregon with the city of Medford, where the city of Medford is playing extortion with one constituent over this very issue. It is a statewide issue, and we cannot get that bill fixed. It's a tragedy, Mr. President, but this bill, Senate Bill 915, does show that when a city gets out of line or has a policy that does not fit, we can have a statewide policy to fix the problem. That's what needs to happen with the city of Medford.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Morris, you wish to close?
Yes, I do, Mr. President. I find myself in an unusual situation here, colleagues, and I would like, in the spirit of full and total disclosure, to advise you of actions that I have taken. A letter that I have sent to Ron Burson, Director of the Government Ethics Commission, with respect to a potential conflict of interest. And if I may, Mr. President, I would like to read that letter to totally clarify any potential conflicts of interest with respect to this bill.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you. Dear Ron, I have attached a notarized document that I wish to have introduced into the public record that eliminates any actual or perceived conflicts of interest based on my actions as a legislator with respect to Senate Bill 915. The occasion to create a notarized document for the Commission's files is as follows. In a project known as the River Green Office Park in Corvallis, Mr. McElroy, a former builder, was cited in a municipal court by the city for occupancy without a certificate. The circumstances that forced Mr. McElroy to violate the building code are very unusual and are part of the public hearing record for Senate Bill 915. Mr. McElroy approached me for assistance not long after I became a senator, and based upon an increasing understanding of the issue and its devastating impact on his life, my wife Linda and I have loaned money to Mr. McElroy. The loaning of money is the subject of this letter in the context of Mr. McElroy's unresolved litigation against the city of Corvallis. I inquired of legislative counsel regarding loaning of funds in this matter and was advised that loaning funds is not prohibited, but that receiving any interest and principal in excess of normal rates and amounts would be prohibited. After finally understanding the law and legislative counsel's opinion that the city of Corvallis had not followed the law, I introduced Senate Bill 915 to clarify that building code violations must be enforced through a civil administrative process and not through the criminal procedures code. If the bill passes, there will be no, and I emphasize, no retroactive provisions that affect the outcome of Mr. McElroy's litigation against the city. I wish to make it clear in the public record that my wife Linda and I will receive no benefit from our loan to Mr. McElroy. Repayment of the loan and interest, if any, will be directed to the benefit of two charitable organizations in my district, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Corvallis and Albany. Colleagues, in the spirit of full disclosure, I wish to make that known, and I ask for an aye vote on this, what is really a very important piece of legislation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 915. Those opinion bills pass. The aye. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader.
Go on. Senator Schrader.
Starr. Starr. Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate bill. 915, having received council majority, declared passed. My intention is to finish the calendar now so we do not have to come back at 5 o'clock today. Clerk will read the bill, please.
Senate Bill 916, local government budgets.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
I don't have 916.
What? Senator Frank Morris, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm ready to go. Senate Bill 916 is amended. It addresses current local government law that is antiquated and contains out-of-date rigid provisions. Further, it does not provide for uniform collection of county financial summary data information necessary for the legislature's Senate Bill 5520 project. What the bill does, it requires that county budgets contain a summary of revenue and expenditures for major programs funded in part by state resources. This will result in more uniform county data collection necessary to highlight state-county partnerships and identify impacts to programs. It allows changes to fees to occur every 6 months rather than only once a year in order to respond to changing conditions. It includes post office box and rural route numbers as mailing options. It increases the flexibility to transfer appropriation authority among funds. It removes the prohibition to transfer appropriations from any special revenue fund to the general fund or other special revenue fund. It increases the time period for repayment of an interfund loan from 5 to 10 years, and it applies the reasonable person standard to estimating revenues and expenditures during the budget preparations. Mr. President, colleagues, I urge an aye vote. This is an improvement to government bill. Thank you.
Discussion. Question on item 30 and final passage, Senate Bill 916. Those opinion bills pass. The aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 916, Emissions Customs Majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 970, related to state real property.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 970 comes from you from your Rules Committee unanimously. Senate Bill 970 recognizes that Oregon state real property policy requires that the state hold ownership of no more state-owned real property than necessary to conduct official business, and surplus property be transferred through lease or sale to private parties. When state-owned land is prepared and noticed for sale, an interested party must submit a proposal and provide a certified check of a surety bond for 10% of a total value of the land. The 10% bond does not act as a guarantee to the applicant for purchase. It only enables the state to review the proposal and open a dialogue for negotiations. This requirement can cause problems in the ability of the state to successfully market and sell surplus property by acting as a barrier to attracting private investment and development in the state. Senate Bill 970 simply removes the 10% bond requirement from statute, yet making no other changes to the statutorily required process for selling state property. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on item 30, reading the final passage of Senate Bill 970. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Metzger,
aye.
Bonas Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 970, I have received custom majority declared passed. First reading is House measures.
SGR 43, recognizing the importance of Oregon small business to Oregon economy. House Bill 2014, the school construction taxes. House Bill 2136, fund vending machines. House Bill 2137, reflective proceedings. House Bill 2262, prevent reinstatement of charges after plea. House Bill 2308, the discharge of estate fiduciary from personal liability. House Bill 2313, the definitions of legal entities. House Bill 2502, criminal procedure. House Bill 2569, registration plates. House Bill 2589, fund the health benefit plan coverage of hearing aids. House Bill 2673, the sales and admission tickets for entertainment events. House Bill 2700, related claims property tax exemption. House Bill 2718, women's veterans health care needs. House Bill 2738, related vehicles taken in custody by public bodies. House Bill 2740, related trust for cultural development.
House Bill 2795 on diesel engines, House Bill 2809 related urban renewal plans, House Bill 2868 on child care facilities, House Bill 2956 on interstate bridges, House Bill 3051 on driving under influence of toxins, House Bill 3076 on talent and gifted programs and declaring emergency, House Bill 3085 related to closure of manufactured dwelling park, House Bill 3097 related emergency medical personnel, House Bill 3103 related practice of pharmacy, House Bill 3118 related hiring practice of institutions of higher education, House Bill 3123 related release of substance by passenger vessels, House Bill 3151 related vehicle transfer, House Bill 3157 related juvenile detention facilities, House Bill 3367 related volume fixtures, House Bill 3451 related ballots, House Bill 3471 related inter-county adoptions of children in the Department of DHS.
These are transferred to the President's desk for referral. With the second reading of the House measures, please.
House Bill 239 related to unlawfully parked vehicles, House Bill 2041 related to rubber machinery, House Bill 2050 related to non-related foster care parent caregiver relationship to juvenile and pending proceedings, House Bill 2062 related to misconduct by school employees, House Bill 2079 related to personal flotation devices, House Bill 2109 related to personal technical education, House Bill 2111 related to public charter school development fund, House Bill 2198 related to life insurance producer continuing education requirements, House Bill 2234 related to regulation of FUs and state highway right-of-ways, House Bill 2235 related to hazardous trees along state highways, House Bill 2418 related to persons exempt from real estate licensing law, House Bill 2521 related to electronic signaling devices, House Bill 2634 related to security for payments of workers' compensation and insurance premiums, House Bill 2731 related to pre-qualification public contracts, House Bill 2826 on child labor, House Bill 27 with reinstatement fee.
These are passed to the counter. The third reading of the House measure, clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5001 with the Defense Administration of Oregon Board of Accounts and declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this bill comes to you unanimously with three excused from your Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The Board of Accountancy protects the public by regulating the practice and performance of all services provided by licensed accountants. House Bill 5001 is the appropriation bill for the agency. The agency is fully supported by fees and receives no general funds. The budget recommended by the Joint Committee on Ways and Means totals $1,816,821 other funds and 7 FTE. The recommended budget includes $50,000 additional expenditure limitation to allow the board to continue to contract with qualified investigators to handle complex investigations. The Department of Administrative Services will unschedule this additional expenditure limitation until the board provides proof that funds are needed in the form of a copy of contractual agreements. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved continuation of the agency's 5 performance measures with a recommendation that the agency work with the Department of Administrative Services and the Legislative Fiscal Office during the interim to monitor 2 of its measures relating to contested cases and complaint investigations to determine if they provide meaningful and valid information. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5001.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5001. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Von Zenderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morris, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, George, 27 ayes.
The House Bill 5001, having some council majority, declared passed. Senator Telfer, for what purpose do you rise?
Potential conflict of interest. Hopefully it's not really potential even, but the Board of Accountancy is the regulatory body over which myself as a certified public accountant processes.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record regarding House Bill 5001. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5029, Million Defense Administration, State Member Board, and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. House Bill 5029 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Marine Board. The Oregon State Marine Board was established in 1959, just 3 years after yours truly was brought into the world. And it is responsible for registering and titling all recreational boating vessels in the state. And yes, that must mean the Marine Board's pretty old. The board consists of 5 members appointed by the governor for four-year terms. Whew. The Marine Board's budget is comprised of three separate program areas. These programs are dedicated to the Board's mission of boater safety, education, and access in an enhanced boating environment. The committee approved an other funds budget of $25,949,147,000, a federal funds budget of $6,940,466 and 40 positions or 39 FTE. The legislatively approved budget is a 3.2% decrease from the 2007-09 legislatively approved budget. This reduction reflects the elimination of a one-time federal grant. The committee approved the agency's performance measures. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5029.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Question arises upon the third reading. The final passage of House Bill 5029. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. 20 ayes.
The House Bill 5029, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5036, from the Defense Administration, State Board of Pharmacy, and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Rob Monroe.
Thank you. This is the one we've been looking for, folks. This is the budget for the Oregon Board of Pharmacy, which passed out of the Full Ways and Means Committee on a unanimous 20-0 vote. It includes no increases in fees. My subcommittee denied several fee requests. The only additional activity of the board would be to process criminal background checks. Other than that, they just continue at the current level, $5 million. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question to Senator Boquist.
I understand that it is appropriate to ask a question of someone who's not carrying the bill if the person you're asking the question to, that state senator, is willing to accept the question.
Senator, I will, Boquist, Mr. President.
Senator Boquist, were you willing to answer yield?
I yield, Mr. President.
He will yield.
Senator, could you tell me what the other funds ending balance is for this agency?
Yes, Mr. President. Good, Senator. The ending fund balance, according to legislative fiscal office, will be $988,770 at the end of June 30th, which is about 20% of the total budget of this agency. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Monroe, do you wish to close?
Thank you, which is why we didn't allow them any fee increases. I urge your aye vote.
The question now arises upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 5036. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse. 24 ayes.
House Bill 5036, I received constitutional majority, declared passed. Senator Bruce Starr, please. For what purpose do you rise?
Return to courtesies, Mr. President.
Without objection, feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd just like to recognize some constituents that have come down from Washington County today. On the side aisle, we have former State Representative Al Young and Pastor Dale Harris from Forest Grove. I'd just like to welcome them to the Capitol and ask for courtesy to the Senate.
Thank you. Recognize Al and Daryl. Thank you very much for coming to the State Senate, and hope you're having a good day here. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. It's a pleasure and a privilege to have you at your state capitol. Thank you. Recognize Senator Girard, please.
Mr. President, I'm not sure this is the appropriate time. Are you still under courtesies?
Yes, we're still under.
I have a different request.
All right. Well, we'll turn to the regular order of the Senate business, and that is other business of the State Senate. In order to the SR 8.403 committee referral list number 102, which was distributed to members April 30th, and 103 was distributed May 1st. The referrals recorded in the Journal of State Support is so ordered. We're now on announcements. What do you want to do here, Senator Girard? Do you want to do something?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent to change my vote on Senate Bill 580A. It will not change the outcome.
That was 588?
580A.
580?
A. Yes. A.
Senator... Girard asked the unanimous consent to allow him to change his vote on Senate Bill 580. Are there any objections? It will not to his changing his vote. I hear no objections. What is your vote, please?
No.
He votes no. The now recognized Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate Business and Transportation, we will meet at 1:30 today. 1:30.
Okay. Recognized Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder to Senate Finance and Revenue, we are not meeting today.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Margaret Carter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the two names that I told you I'd come back and give thanks for their work is Dorothy Deal and Patty O'Reilly of Committee Services, who worked the hearing here in Salem on April 23rd. Thanks again to everyone who worked so hard.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats, get your lunch. We will start caucus at exactly 12:35.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferriola, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans, being under budget and on time, have no need to caucus today. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
President.
You. Again, because we cleared the calendar, we do not need to come back today at 5 in the evening. Please, though, note that, again, we may possibly come back at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening to try to advance our calendar. So please... You might note that for the record. We do not need to come back today at 5. We will go back in at 10:15 tomorrow, our usual time, and we possibly will have a session at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening to complete that calendar. If there are no further announcements and without objection, this Senate is adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, which is Tuesday, May 5th. The Senate is in adjournment.